What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, okay. This is a different episode of the NFC's mixtape. I'm going to get started. I'm going to be straight up with all the listeners right now. My name is RJ Ochoa from SB Nation's Blog of the Boys. This is the NFC's mixtape. This is volume, I think, like 72. You can listen to this on any of the four SB Nation NFC East team podcast networks: Blogging the Boys for Dallas Cowboys coverage, Bleeding Green Nation for Philadelphia Eagles, Big Blue View for New York Giants, and of course Hogs Haven for Washington Commanders. Normally, my partner in crime, Brandon Lee Gotten from Bleeding Green Nation, is here with me. He is out. He's on assignment. BLG couldn't be here. Too scared to face the music after, I don't know, after whatever bad thing happened to the Eagles, because it's always happening. So joining me instead, an upgrade, most would say, from Hogs Haven, the Hogs Haven master on the ones and twos, the podcast king, the podcast overlord, really is really the best way to put it, I think. Jamal Forrest, my great friend, he and I have podcasted together many different times, talking about the Dallas Cowboys getting set to play Washington. So normally those haven't gone well for Jamal. But Jamal, welcome to the NFC East mixtape. I'm sorry about the fandom that you have chosen to make your daily life.
It's incredible. You know, I was going to say you oversold me, but then after you threw some haymakers after the fact, you know, I'm going to take everything. Podcast King, all that good stuff. You know, I'm going to roll with it. But nah, I appreciate you having me on. It's a pleasure to be here, man. I listen to you all the time.
The Hogs Haven Podcast Network has a bit of a new look, new voice, really, kind of a fresh of sorts. So everybody make sure if you're a Commanders fan, or even if you're not, what we tell people, Jamal, is obviously subscribe, leave a rating, write a review to their preferred team network. If they're Cowboys fans, Blogging the Boys is an example. But go leave a cross review, right? Go over to Hogs Haven, every Cowboys and Eagles fan, and if you don't like them, that's fine. Give them a 5-star rating. You can write whatever you want, right, Jamal? Like, talk about how bad the team is, you know. But 5-star rating, that's all we care about.
If Washington beats y'all, I just need to make sure anybody, Eagles, Cowboys, Giants, I just need y'all to know, look, have that same respect, put that 5-star, but then also, you know what I'm saying, give us a compliment. I appreciate the compliment. You know, no backhanded compliments either. Nothing that RJ does. Nothing he sends my way.
I would never do that, honestly. But anyway, welcome, Jamal. Sorry that Brandon couldn't be here. The three of us will mix it up together in the future. And so this is kind of the Washington episode, as my dog. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I've done shows with you in my car before. We've done. So this, it's always a hectic environment whenever I'm on the mic with you. But so his name is Bear. So he loves the Cowboys, but also has like a thing for the Bears. And so it's tough times, you know, for Bear these days.
I'm about to say he is going through it back there. Look, sometimes when we do this in the future, you like Dakota's having a good time tearing up my socks right now.
Your dog's name is Dakota?
Dakota, yeah.
Dakota
exactly.
Rain.
You know, look, come on, you know about Dakota too, Dakota Prescott, you know, all these, look, you got some Dakotas you're familiar with.
That's right. Yeah, North, South, and Prescott. Yeah. Wow. That is so cool. I never knew that. I'm excited for all the podcasting in the future. Because again, normally when I've podcasted with you, you've been the one asking the questions, and it's not just you. You bring an army. You bring an entourage. You're like Vincent Chase. And so
luckily it's still 2-on-1, you know, you still got Eric and Nick on your side, you know. I'm still outnumbered on my own show.
That's true. Okay. This is the Washington Commanders show. Sometimes, Jamal, we get accused of not showing enough love to the Commanders or to the Giants. But, you know, to be frank, this has been a division of kind of two teams for a while. But I don't know if you know this or not. You say you listen to the show. I have defended Carson Wentz this year more than anybody. All right. I maintain that the way that the Indianapolis Colts did him was dirty. It was wrong. They ran him over. They backed up. Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, they made the mistake. We'll call it a mistake of trading for once. Fine. But they acted like he was the big problem there. Like it was like they were these victims. And so I have really hated that. And I have made a lot of wagers that I think Carson Wentz will outperform Matt Ryan this season. That in no way makes me a Wentz fan, but I think he was much better than people kind of make him out to be. There are two quarterbacks who people let the meme kind of become bigger than the actual quarterback. And they both have played for Washington. Kirk Cousins and Carson Wentz. Neither are as bad as people make them out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's like this all season has been so weird because I have my own opinion on Carson and I never thought that like elite. That word never popped up to my head. 2017 different. Like it is what it is, but that was 5 years ago. But recently it like that elite word never popped up to my head. I just always thought that he was a competent quarterback. So when you hear these things coming out of Indianapolis, you're trying to figure out like where are all these like where did all this stuff get ballooned into the fact that like everything got exacerbated about how bad Carson Wentz was. We understand he had his bad moments and those bad moments are like not necessarily seen in detail from an outsider's perspective. So the Indianapolis Colts and the brass and the locals, they know much more than we do. But at the same time, do you have to go on a campaign about it? I never understood the campaign. And that's the thing that I never really bought into. It's like, what do you get with Carson? But ultimately, the truth will unveil itself. Like it's been a lot of outlier seasons from him. 2017 MVP, 2020 one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. 2021 above average. But what do you really get from Carson? You'll know a lot this season because he has much more help from a passing standpoint around him. And you can probably see what he does there. But from a campaign, a media campaign, man, it's been incredible. I really haven't seen anything like it before.
It's again like they sold him out to save themselves, right? It was they had to make a fall guy for what happened in Indianapolis. And people look, I'm not again like I don't think Carson Wentz is elite, to be very clear. I just hate the way he was treated by the Colts. And in a similar way, an argument I've made many times is people love to say, oh well, Carson lost to the Raiders and the Jaguars. He kind of pissed away the playoff spot for Indianapolis last year. You know who lost to the Texans and the Raiders? Justin Herbert. But nobody ever cares. Nobody offers up anything, any point of criticism for him. It's just like when the Colts lose, it's, oh, well, you know, Carson Wentz sucked or whatever, blah, blah, the defense was super good, whatever. And again, Justin Herbert's awesome, but it's like when they lose, it's like, oh, man, Justin Herbert, his team just lets him down. He's so amazing. He's trapped by the Chargers-ness of it all. It's not apples to apples, but to your point, it is the narrative. So that's where I'd like to start. I have some just kind of general Commanders bullet points that we'll hit as we kind of walk through here. Everybody knows what's going on in the world of the Cowboys and Eagles. So the Commanders get this whole episode, Jamal. You had a tweet. The first tweet we interacted, you and I, since you took over this post here was about Wentz. What's it been like? You've been out of camp. You've been observing. You've been taking notes, studying, pontificating. Do you feel like I'll phrase the question like this. This is the best you have felt about a Washington quarterback since who and why?
Oh, this one is a layup. You got to, well, RJ, you know, you're in a division. We ain't got that many quarterbacks over here.
I know, but no. It has to be ball. Since Kirk. That's yeah, fine.
Exactly. Let's play ball. Since Kirk Cousins. That's really since it's been. I think for me too, and to add on, and you acknowledged it, RJ, so I can just go in agreement. Yeah, his last two games in Indianapolis were very underwhelming. From an individual standpoint, we kind of understand the importance of a team aspect. From an individual standpoint, it's been underwhelming. You know, it is what it is, and he had his moments throughout the season where you're kind of figuring out like where did this go wrong. But to this point, into this all season, and for the Washington Commanders, it's been good early on. From stemming from the OTAs, he had a really good connection with Jahan Dotson. It seemed like he was understanding what they wanted to do from an offensive standpoint. And things look good, and then all of a sudden, remember, we talk about, and it's good that you're in Texas, like you have nothing really to worry about because this is going to be probably fresher information for you. But when training camp starts, all of a sudden these narratives starts resurfacing itself, inaccurate practices, not being in chemistry with the receivers, not seeing the field well, making poor decisions, all these things, these narratives and stemming around Carson Wentz. And then you get to the preseason games and then all of a sudden that goes away. Like everything that you've seen in training camp, from reporters who are drumming up narratives, which is fine. Like you see with your eyes, but you may have exacerbated what the reality was about Carson Wentz. It may have not been as accurate or one of the worst practices that you ever seen. But when you see training camp transition over to preseason games, his first two preseason games, he's looking like an average quarterback. He didn't have a terrible game. He didn't have an elite game, but he looked like an average quarterback in a preseason game going through the motions. And now all of a sudden, all these narratives quickly die out. So all in all, this offseason, this training camp for Carson, it's been mix and match. You don't know what you're going to get with this offense. They have a lot of pieces that Scott Turner is really being challenged with as well, because now you're going to have to figure out how Scott Turner going to utilize all these guys. Jahan Dotson, really good rookie. You have these tight ends that Carson Wentz loves to hit like throughout his entire career. So you're trying to figure out who works with who, but now you're trying to implement the fact that, or cope with the fact that Logan Thomas was out the entire offseason. John Bates got hurt at the start of preseason. So now you have Armani Rogers, who is a guy that nobody really knows. He's a tight end. A quarterback converted to a tight end. So he just played his first ever NFL football, any collegiate game, anything as a tight end. This is first ever game at tight end, and he's about to make the roster. So I'm all in all to say, you don't know what you're going to get out of Carson Wentz in the season, but it's crazy to kind of go through the same thing that he went through in Indianapolis and all those rumors and everything in Philly. It showed itself a little bit in training camp, but ultimately I just think that some people just didn't know what they were seeing.
I think you're right. I think people do pluck what they want. Carson has kind of burned the benefit of the doubt, right? Which is why people are so anxious to kind of, bag on him or criticize him. They want to make the joke about Carson Wentz, like whatever it is. And so some guys that's just the way it goes. And some people it's unfair. Again, you can argue that Carson made his own bed, from a public standpoint, kind of selfish in Philly at least, and obviously whatever. So, Carson's not a victim here is my point. But yeah. But there was the report this past weekend after the second week of the preseason the quote about Carson, forcing it and saying, yeah, I know, I need to check, I need to, whatever. And so that becomes the one thing. The only thing that anybody talks about is same dude, same guy. And he is the same guy to some degree. Again, I'm not trying to sit here and say Carson Wentz is amazing, but any kind of positive action or positive moment or positive momentum is washed away because he's somebody that people want to joke on. So they're taking every opportunity they can to do it.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting that you brought that up, because I actually saw a quote. I think I saw somebody, I don't even know, it's an Indianapolis account, let's put it that way. Indianapolis account put, that play out there, and one of the things that they showed on that play in which the quote came from post game was the fact that he had Antonio Gibson on the check down wide open. And he's looking to his right. But ultimately, for those who are unaware with the play itself, I would urge you to just look at, do a Google search, and maybe even look up Mark Bullock. He broke the play down on his Twitter, whatever, anything. You'll see the concept calls for him to look to his right because that's where his read starts. You're not going to see anybody on your left if the read starts on the right. If your progression start on the right, you're not going to see anything. He did mess up though, RJ. And ultimately where he messed up was when Jahan Dotson, the rookie receiver, took the wrong release, which ultimately messed up the play. He should have threw it away. And that's what happened, and that's what you're seeing in the quote. That's what you're hearing in the post-game quotes, is the fact that he knew better. He should have got rid of the ball, and this is where things lead to. So it's interesting how people just harp and bounce. Right. They was waiting for that one moment. Do not blame him for not seeing Antonio Gibson.
So that's my next question. Antonio Gibson, there's this weird energy. He's handling kickoffs. We see that. We see the alerts. We see the headlines, and that's an awkward thing. And look, if there's one person on this team that I'm not a fan of, it's Ron Rivera. Big fan of Ron Rivera, the human being. Awesome. I would love to sit down, have a meal with Ron, maybe go on a weekend trip, play some pickleball, whatever. But Ron the coach, I'm out on.
Let's hear.
I think he gets he's clearly a difficult job. I'm aware of that. I'm not trying to say it's easy, but some of this stuff just falls on deaf ears for me. This he's always pushing this leadership agenda, and people make a big deal about the 2020 season. And I'm not trying to say that there wasn't anything impressive about that, but I would say that the last two times this team has won the NFC East, and I say this coming from a Cowboys perspective, the YouTube audience can see I'm wearing a Dallas Cowboys shirt, but the last time that they've won the division, the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys has missed double-digit games. So I don't credit Ron Rivera for doing anything. And I think if Dak Prescott hadn't been hurt in 2020, I think the narrative on Ron is different as opposed to like, well, he won the division this year. And so I do have a question about Antonio Gibson, but I guess your thoughts on my thoughts on Ron Rivera.
Yeah, I was just curious. I don't think you're too far off. And I also would say that I think there's quite a few people within the Washington fan base within itself would actually like lean towards your beliefs of Ron and that Ron has had instances where, you know, he's shown from an actual management of the organization trying to change the culture that he's capable of doing that. But that has nothing to do with his ability on the field. And the issue with Ron Rivera going into year three is that you had amazing match. Like, you had a good season. Let me even take that back. You had a season where where you finished strong, but you've had opponents that were lower quality, backups. A lot of backups played. You took advantage of that. You can't complain about the people you play against. You just got to dominate. It is what it is.
Right, right.
But you got to take that in context because the very next year, there's a lot of people who are believing in your defense, who's believing that they're capable of holding things together. That is the side of the ball that you are ultimately known for. And your bottom half of the league, your bottom third of the league, really, like, it's that bad on that side of the ball. And you're trying to figure out where did things go wrong, and you have no clue. But ultimately, you go into year three, and, like, some of these same issues, some of these same questions exist on August 23rd, 2022 that existed in your very first year as a Washington football team head coach. Like, it's a lot of people that believe what you're believing, RJ. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm in the middle. Ron is in a show me state for me. Like, he has to prove that he's capable of being a competent head coach in Washington. I there's a lot of things where it's like lip service is something that for me is something where it's like I hear what you're saying, but I ain't seeing what you're talking about. So that's just kind of where I'm at with Ron, man. And it's just being honest. I know people love to, you know, like, the optimism thing is okay. And I'm here. I want to hope for the best. I like what they have from the actual strategy, what they want to get accomplished. I see it with this personnel. But can you coach these guys to get it done? Do you have them in the right space to get it done? We're going to see. But right now, I got to see it. I don't believe what you're talking about.
I'm really happy that, you know, we're having this conversation because it's important. It's instructive and I think enlightening to hear your perspective on this. I just would like all, maybe the world, to acknowledge that I was right. That, you know, my thought on Ron is what Washington fans feel.
You're in the ballpark. Some of them. You're in the ballpark for sure.
And, like, I don't think it's unique. I think it just kind of it's what happens to coaches. It reminds me, and I don't mean to say this about Ron because I know this is like a negative thing. It reminds me of Jason Garrett. Like, you know, at the end, it was like this. He's a phenomenal human being. Like, you know, he would make a wonderful CEO. You know what I mean? Or like face of a company. Like, he totally understood the public part of being the Dallas Cowboys head coach, which is a different job in and of itself. Ron is tasked with a very unique challenge. I don't think anybody would dispute that. And I think he has handled the controversial side of this organization wonderfully. To your point, but to your point as well, that is completely different than who you are on Sundays as a football coach. I really don't give him any credit for winning the division. The Cowboy factor, as mentioned, Doug Peterson threw that game. You know what I mean? Like, one of your seven wins that won the division was thrown to you. And I'm not saying they wouldn't have won otherwise, but I mean, it was thrown.
You saw it on Philly side. Exactly.
Right.
You never know what would happen if they went head up 100%. You don't know.
Right. And so, like, if that doesn't happen, like, that is, and we actually had a conversation a year ago doing a what if, like, what if Philly wins that game? Washington would have been in a position to draft Justin Fields in the draft a year ago. And so it's the consequence of, like, you know, if you're a Washington fan then, like, was it really worth winning the division and losing to the Bucks in the wild card, or had that, you know, a draft pick 10 spots higher or whatever? We're not here to relitigate that, but okay, so you're on the same page, same wavelength ish as Ron Rivera. That's good to know. We're 2 for 2 so far, Jamal. That's really nice to hear. Antonio Gibson, give us the lowdown, because this is really weird. Again, and this was one of those, like, the things that also irked me about Ron. Well, we're going to use Antonio Gibson the way I use Christian McCaffrey. We're going to bring in Curtis Samuel. Like, dude, you can't just, like, get the band back together and think that, you know, you're going to be the 2015 Carolina Panthers just because you want to be. So a year ago, Antonio Gibson's supposed to be Christian McCaffrey. Right now, handling kickoffs in the preseason. What happened? What do we expect from him this season?
Well, I'll long story short, and I'll expand a little bit. The long story short is that Antonio Gibson can't be trusted carrying the football in between the
tackles. I saw you wrote about this, though. You did write that Scott Turner can maybe help with the fumbling issues, but that is a maybe sort of thing.
Yeah. He really can't be trusted in. And it's not that he's benched and he's relegated to the sideline and he'll never see handoffs ever again, but that's the long story short. He's not the primary back anymore. If I had to make a prediction, there's nothing in concrete status, but what ultimately happened this past weekend for Washington was that Brian Robinson got the start. Like, and that's why you see Antonio Gibson's on kickoff, is because they wanted to see how Brian Robinson flowed with the ones off the rip. They wanted to see what he looked like, how was he able to handle certain concepts. And they tested Brian Robinson in a gap run, or power run, but also in a zone run. And he hit both of them perfectly. Like, whatever blocks they had, he was able to maximize every single yard that they gave him from an offensive line standpoint. And I think personally, that's what led me to believe he had a solid game overall, Brian Robinson, but that's what led me to believe that he'll ultimately take over. But to your question, what happened with Antonio Gibson? Look, when you fumble 6 or 7 times last year, and I don't know the exact number in terms of how many were lost, but he led the league. Whatever the numbers was that he actually lost, he led the league in fumbles lost as well. It's alarming on top of the fact that you're not able to find the same holes that Brian Robinson is doing. Mm-hmm. And that was a challenge all throughout the season. And it's an indication on how good the offensive line played for him to get over 1,000 yards as a rusher last year. So a lot of people see the surface numbers, especially if you're outside of Washington and you're looking at like fantasies or maybe like who should I get as my number one? I don't do fantasy, so I'm struggling in that aspect.
You're one of those people. Okay,
fine. Look, I gamble. I gamble, man. Sure. And nowadays I watch film, so that's taking up my time. But to the fantasy point, you look at those numbers. Like, who is the guy that's getting all these yards? And Washington has a guy in Antonio Gibson who gets a lot of yards and he scores touchdowns. And I think in between those numbers, just from an actual performance standpoint, he could have had, if he had 1,100 yards, I don't have the numbers in front of me, he could have had 1,300 or 1,400. Right. Like, that's kind of how that thing works with Antonio Gibson. So ultimately, when you have those issues, you have a person with ball security issues who's having the same exact problem when he fumbles. It's not nothing like he's fumbling in a variety of ways. Like, he's very loose with the football when he goes down on contact. So when you have all these things and it carries over into this year, and he was partly responsible for 2 fumbles in practice leading up until the week in which he fumbled against the Panthers. Like, he wasn't fully responsible, but he was partially responsible for those in practice. But when you fumble against the Panthers,
right,
in your first preseason game, now we got to change up everything, because we didn't give you so many opportunities to be the primary back for this guy, for this team. And you've shown us that you can't really come through. So that's what you've seen this upcoming week. You've seen them in special teams. You've seen him kick return. He was actually on punt block. I mean, not punt block, but punt coverage. I don't know why I thought about that, but punt coverage. So he wasn't necessarily returning the punt. He was playing slot on that side of the ball. So you just understood his role is completely changed, and they're trying to find ways to expand it, but also decrease the amount of carries that he sees from an actual running back standpoint.
Wow. See, like, that's a different – I don't want to go back down the wrong path, but, like, it's one thing to, like, effectively bench him, but it's another thing to, like, have this dude on punt teams. You know what I mean? Like, that's silly. Like, I can't think of a veteran running back who isn't, like, kind of a classic special teamer that is doing that. You know, it does seem like a, well, you know what, we want to make him earn his way back type of thing, like that an old school coach like Ron would do.
I mean, ultimately, I understand, but ultimately, I think when it comes to Antonio, and I had this, we had months long battles. Those Twitter spaces, I just got involved with those, but you know, I'd be hopping in those sometimes, and a lot of people like, look, man, he's young. He's had less fumbles than Adrian Peterson, Walter Payton, and all these, and Frank, guy from Pittsburgh. You know, I'm dropping a ball on his name, but like all of these guys, all these Hall of Famers, he's had less fumbles in the same amount of years and the same amount of time as these guys, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, you're talking about a guy in Antonio Gibson who's nowhere near the level of talent as a ball carrier, as a running back, than these guys are. Like, it doesn't matter, like, on the surface how talented you are, how much potential he has. He's been in the league for 2 years. They asked him to play running back. They asked you to take over on this role. They didn't ask you to play a receiver or a slot receiver or even play that CMC role that Ron Rivera said he envisioned him in. Like, that wasn't the case. They asked you to come in after your first year to take over the running back spot, but you came in the league, period, as a running back. So it doesn't matter what exactly The statistics look like compared to Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. You and your skill set at the position that they drafted you to be in, because you are a professional football player, you are not getting the job done. And that's kind of where it ultimately comes down to for Antonio Gibson. I do want to acknowledge, because we are talking about like what happened, I do want to acknowledge that he is a talented player, and there's other ways you could use him on the offense. That includes him getting ball carries. You just can't really trust him in between the tackles. But you can also use him as a pass catcher. You can use him out of the backfield as a pass catcher. You can motion him to the slot and make sure you draw plays for him in that way as well. Like, there's ways to get him the ball. You just have to limit the amount of times and amount of exposures that you give him when you want to run him in between the tackles, because you cannot trust him.
Wow. Tough times for Antonio.
Yeah.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two last ones for you, Jamal. And they're both kind of, one's kind of quick and the other is just kind of existential. The quick one, you mentioned the date. We're recording this on August 23rd, 2022. And today was the first day that NFL teams could put players on the reserve PUP list. The Commanders did that with Chase Young. So he's out for the first four games of the season. Your concern level, panic level, he's going to miss a game against the Eagles and a game against the Cowboys. He missed both games against the Cowboys last year. Is that a big factor for you in the first four games? Because, I mean, missing two divisional games, missing one of your best players for that, that's, you know, those are consequential games throughout the first month of the year.
I wish I had him for Philly and I wish I had him for Dallas. But ultimately, we kind of understood a long time ago, at least over here, that, you know, he wasn't going to be ready for week one. We mm-hmm. just didn't know, like, the timetable. So for him to be on PUP, you're looking at 4 weeks. Okay, cool. 4 weeks minimum, but hoping to get him back in that fifth game. Okay, cool. That's fine. But ultimately, you're talking about a guy who is the number two overall pick in 2020, at least for your team. So rushing him back isn't, like, that's not ideal for Washington. And they're trying to play the long game. And they're trying to make sure that he's straight for his career, but also for Washington's sake. But I'm not concerned right now. I would be concerned if that PUP list time comes in week five and they're saying, mm-hmm. you know, we need to sit him out a little bit more. I'm like, all right, well, when is he ever going to come back? So we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But we knew, based on this ACL injury when it happened, the extent of damage done, we won't get him back week one.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. And it's the right thing. It's just, it's frustrating. But then it's like, how can you be frustrated if it's the right thing? It's just like this circle that you kind of go through. Last thing, because we talk about the Commanders a lot from a culture standpoint, obviously, but we're not in it, right? Like, I think it's different for people who have been a fan of the team through everything. And so it's obviously not been, you know, a fun few years, but just focusing on this offseason, you've got the rebrand that happens. Jason Wright had the clap back, if you want to call it that. in the name of Carson Wentz, you know, we'll see, you know, how things go. But like, are you confident that, like, do you feel better about things, or are you just like apathetic? Like, do you just like approach this like, you know what, I just like the football team, you know what I mean? Like, that's all I care about. Have you disconnected from that kind of stuff? Like, what are your thoughts on just like the fandom of Washington and where the fan base is and how people perceive? Do people, we don't think Jason Wright knows what he's doing, but like, what's the temperature, you know, among you and other people at Hogs Haven?
Well, I mean, I'm appreciative of the way you asked that question, because it allows different avenues to go down. And for me, a person who, and this is a long answer, but I'm not going to do this to you. I'm not going to do that to you. I won't give you the 10-minute answer that Ron could give you at a podium if you ask him a simple question. But no, like, for me, man, I've always been in love with, from a personal standpoint, I've always been in love with football. Like, that was my go-to when I was growing up. Skins, I'm in the area, like Washington, D.C., my mom, my dad, all football. Like, they love Washington teams, everything like that. So coming to love Washington was easy for me. And ultimately, like, as I grew older and things like that, football always stays. So it didn't matter. While I'm frustrated with the team, it didn't matter exactly that they were being bad, because like ultimately, I'm still a fan of football. Like, I can watch the Washington game, I can be upset, and then I can still like, all right, bet, we got a good Sunday night football game on today. I'm not about to, why would I be upset? Like
Cowboys Eagles on Sunday night, yeah, for sure.
I got a good football game on tonight. Like, I'm not worried about anything like that. Of course, I'm thinking about the mob, but I still got good football on. I'm not going to stress over why these guys are playing. So ultimately, I say that to say some people in this area and some people that are tied to Washington are only Washington fans, and it hurts them more. It hurts them a lot more than the person who actually loves the sport, who loves the actual game of football, who is appreciative of the other games around the NFL and enjoys good football, or just enjoys football, period. So I'm in a situation that I'm not going to say is unique, but that's the point of view that you get from me as a person who can actually look at the game, see what went wrong, and I won't even worry about that off the field stuff. I'm paying attention to it, but are you going to hear me talk about that as much? No. You may see some tweets on Twitter that may draw some attention, but do you think that I'm going to sit there and look at that tweet and be like, that's how I really feel like 24/7? It's an instance. It's an instant moment. That Jason Wright thing, the incident that he had with the reporter defending Carson Wentz, a lot of people went back and forth for like 3 or 4 days. It took me 2 days to get over it. Like, of course, my mentions are filled with comments, but I'm not thinking about this. Like, I don't care about something that Jason Wright did for Carson Wentz. I think that it was really petty and immature from a president, but you're not going to see me dwell on it. But ultimately, to your point, people at Hogs Haven have their feelings towards the team, the organization. Like they're older than me too. Like, I'm, for those who are just introduced to me, I'm 28. I turned 29 in a couple months. But there's some people that's older than me, like mid-30s, if not 40s. And, you know, they knew the Redskins. They knew this team as it was when it was successful. And so they can see the transition and where things went wrong from a Dan standpoint and this new era where they actually got rid of the name and they transitioned to the Commanders. So, like, while even the name changed for me, I've been inbred with like the Redskins stuff, but at the same time, I don't know the Redskins to be successful. Like, I don't know that. I'm being honest. I don't know it. So, like, it doesn't hurt me, and I understand it, and I respect and feel for the people who went through it. I understand it and I respect it, but ultimately, I'm here for football, baby. That's what I love.
You're like, now something like we've got to deal with is like, oh, like all these, like, I mean, I wouldn't say kids, but maybe like 15-year-olds, like kids in college now, like, oh, you know, Troy Aikman played football. Like, the Cowboys were good. You know what I mean? Like people like now just like, to your point, like only know Troy for like, it's been long enough for, you know, that's a different kind of example. But that'll happen to Romo. You know what I mean? Yeah. People will only know him. So I get that. That's an interesting point of view, because most of the people we speak to, there is this like sense of like, I'm just tired of it. Like, I'm just tired. I just watch the games on Sundays, whatever. I respect that you can emotionally check in when the game's on. It's over. Hey, let's discuss. Let's assess. Let's analyze. Let's, you know, whatever. But, you know, the Bills and, you know, I don't know, the Vikings are playing tonight, whatever. Let's watch Kirk go get that dub, the one that we let get away in Kirk Cousins.
Or maybe throw the game losing interception. Who knows?
Wow. the Jason Wright thing, it's, you know, it was a great thing for talk radio. You mentioned your Juan Soto. You know what I mean? I'm sure that's been tough to get over too. So,
and look, everybody's going through it. Juan Soto, Jason Wright. Look, at some point Bradley Beal was about to get traded or let go. They was going through it with Bradley Beal too. So look, a lot of things going on over here.
Wow.
You know, I mean, look, at least we adopted Carson Wentz though, RJ. Like, a lot of people have taken, and this is no shot to the fan base, because we just do it with every quarterback that we get. It's no particular shot to people, but sometimes you got to wait and see. But there's also a section of the fan base who already claimed them and propelled them to be a great quarterback, and I'm like, you do not know what you're getting into. Do not do it yet. Just wait it out.
I don't want him to have success for obvious reasons. Like, I wish him health, wealth, and happiness. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want him to have success. But I want the Colts to be exposed for being fraud so badly. Like, I want that to happen just because, like, I thought it was so wrong, like the way they treated him. And so, and I don't think Matt Ryan is a better quarterback than Matt Ryan or than Carson Wentz today. I think he's probably a better leader. Like, I don't think that's a difficult thing to believe. And I don't know how much you value that. You know what I mean? But like, I don't think, like, he's a less mobile version of Carson Wentz. And I recognize that some of Carson Wentz's mobility is part of his problem. And you know what I mean? Like, his haphazardness and his chaoticness and whatever. But I mean, you know, Look, I can tell you from a Cowboy standpoint, I'm pretty certain I speak for BLG. I've never been afraid of Taylor Heinicke. I've never been afraid of Alex Smith. I've never been afraid of, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
You can name nine other quarterbacks. Go ahead, go through the list. Yeah. Nine more.
No, but I was afraid of Kirk. I mean, Kirk had his moments against the Cowboys. Like, he had some nice moments. Colt McCoy had a moment against the Cowboys. Like, so, I mean, Carson at least gives me pause. You know what I mean? I do think it's an upgrade, and I think we didn't even mention Terry McLaurin, but with Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Brian Robinson, I suppose, you know, like, that's a lot to work with, and the defense regressed way past the mean last year, and there was some stabilization as the year went on. So I think, look, I would, if the Commanders won 7-8 games this year, I would not be like the most surprised person in the world. That's kind of where I'm at.
Seven and eight. You know, I would be surprised if we get under 500. But here's the thing though, to something that you actually spoke on. I would be surprised if we go under 500, and the main reason is because of the pressure that Ron Rivera put on himself. Like, he involuntarily stated that this was a big season for him. And when people ask me about my predictions, I tell them all the time, look, I say 10 wins off the strength of Ron. Like, hey, Ron said he need to get this done. Okay, bet. I'm going to say you're going to go 10-7. Like, at the bare minimum, I see a 10-7 season, and let me go ahead and outline the wins that he should get. Because if he don't get these wins, I'm going to be mad at him, but I'm going to also be like, hey, look, this is what you told us. So you need to make sure by the end of this season
that
you
10?
Don't have any excuses. Let me pull them up. Let me pull up my schedule, too. Go ahead. Let's see what, okay. Let me see what you got.
I want to get – if I have to give Washington 10,
yep.
Let me know when you're ready. Because I think
– schedule. Yep.
Okay. I'll give him Jacksonville. Again, like if we're kind of
– yeah, going 10. Off what Ron said. Yep, Jacks. Right. Yep.
Jacksonville at Detroit. I won't give them Philly or Dallas, especially not without Chase Young. I won't give them Tennessee. I'll give them Chicago.
That's I would say Tennessee. God,
so you
let's
would
go
give
through
them
yours.
Tennessee.
I'm bad. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead, go through yours.
Well, no, so I mean, we're going 10. In order. I've got three through week six with Chicago.
Okay.
I want them to win against Indianapolis. Like, again, just give it to me. Like, give me the chaos. So I'll give them four there.
Okay.
I'll give them Houston. That would be five.
Okay, five.
If you tell them Atlanta, look, that little stretch right there, dude, starting in week 11. So they play, they're in Philly on Monday Night Football in week 10, and then at Houston, Atlanta, at New York, by New York, the Giants, to be specific here. Okay. Look, I don't know that I feel silly saying that they could go 4-0 in those games, but like if they split them or won three of those games, like I would not be stunned by that. I mean, and they're unfortunate, and Cleveland's a whole different thing, but that they drew Cleveland in the penultimate week of the regular season, so they don't get Jacoby Brissett. But so to count mine, I've got Jacksonville, Detroit, Chicago, Indies four. If I give them three of the ones I said, that's seven. So, I mean, you know, and then some weird crap happens, you know, maybe 10, but I can only get to seven. I'm sorry.
So, no, you're good. So I'm going to run through my 10, and this is August 23rd, right? But If based on what Ron is saying, I'm saying Jacksonville, I'm saying Detroit, I'm saying home versus Philly, I'm saying home versus Tennessee, I'm saying at Chicago, I'm saying home versus Green Bay, I'm saying home versus Minnesota, I am saying home versus Atlanta, we're sweeping New York Giants, and then we got any pick of the litter with the last three, but because I don't like the Cowboys, I'm going to say we beat the Cowboys at home, and that's going to be the 10th win.
Well, you know, that game against the Cowboys is week 18, and Dak and everybody will have wrapped up the one seed, so they'll be sitting everybody anyway. So, you know, maybe you can.
Nah, I doubt it. You know, Philly's boys, number one seed, you know.
I understand the exercise you're doing here. You have them starting off 7-2, because you said Jacksonville, Detroit, the home game against Philly, that would be 3-0. And then so you have their first loss at AT&T Stadium against the Cowboys, where they fought each other on the benches a year ago. Tennessee would give them 4-1 at Chicago. That would be 5-1. And then you got them beating the Packers to get to 6-1 on the season.
Yeah, now this is all on the fly, but at the end of the day, 10 wins is 10 wins. let me sit down and talk about it, but for sure, 10 wins. Look, we're talking about what Ron Rivera is saying. I really think to your point, man, when you talk about just the situation that they're in and the quarterbacks that you weren't afraid of, Carson Wentz gives them some elements of stabilization or whatever the word is. I struggle with things like that. but they bring you some consistency at that spot. And I agree. Like, we haven't had a quarterback in, like this for some time who can really challenge you deep and press those vertical routes. Terry, Jahan is going to be able to flourish in that aspect. You get Cole Turner, a rookie guy who can kind of stretch vertically down the seams. You can get somebody that can do that. And then, like, some other areas in which Scott could or should be able to scheme people open. Sure, I get it. But, you know, Ron put the pressure on himself, so I'm going to keep that pressure on Ron all season.
Okay, last thing for you. If Washington does not win the division, for whatever reason, who does? Just so we have you on record. You know what I mean?
Nah, you're good. You're good. I'm going to say Philly. It's
dude, we go so way back. What on earth?
Yeah, well, you ought to know better. You done thrown several haymakers at me, and they were unwarranted. So this is what you get.
But it's nah, the NFC is mixtape. It's supposed to be back and forth. But go ahead. Your point about Philly.
Yeah, I think Philly is in a position, man, where it's crazy. Like, I don't know much about what you're going to get with Jalen Hurts in this year. Like, they're giving him all the help in the world that they could. Like, A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown, dog. And then, obviously, we know about the other receivers that they have, or the other receiver that they have, Devontae, and being able to work with these two guys in particular is good. And, obviously, the tight end, Goddard. But, overall, that run game is just powerful. And I like what they did in the draft, man, building up on the interior, being able to get Bradbury to come to Philly and stay in that division. I just think that they have pieces there on paper that can suggest, regardless of how bad – and not saying that he's going to play bad, but regardless of how bad he does play, Jalen Hurts, they're going to be able to overcome it in different ways. And I don't think Dallas, because the pieces that they lost. Now, you can fill me in with the preseason and how things have come along in training camp as well. But just given the situation that I know, I don't think that they're capable of running it back and being able to run back-to-back with the NFC East champs.
The only thing I would disagree with that you said is you said the pieces that they lost. I would say the pieces they got rid of. You know what I mean? Like, lost implies that it was somewhat outside of their control. You know, they traded away Amari Cooper. They cut Lyle Collins. I mean, you know, they looked better this past preseason game, but they're really top heavy. You know what I mean? Like, if the moment they – I've been – every way I've talked about it, I've referred to them as the house that the little piggy built out of twigs. You know what I mean? Not the house of straw, but you know what I'm saying? Like – and it's appropriate since, you know, you're Hog's Haven. But, like, you know, the first, like, big bad huff puff from the big bad wolf, like, it's crumbling down. The first, like, dude, they don't have a swing tackle right now. They don't. And you know, why would you need a swing tackle? Tyron Smith has only missed time 6 years in a row. You know what I mean? There's no precedent for this. Why would you prepare for that? You know what I mean? So it's stuff like that. Like, right now, you know, they're starting receivers week one are CeeDee Lamb and, I don't know, Noah Brown and Simi Fehoko. I mean, so I don't know that scares you.
What's the word on your boy Gallup?
I mean, they did not put him that they were talking on the reserve pup list. So there's still like some kind of like, you know, fingers crossed hope that maybe they believe he can. He's already said he's going to miss the opener. So maybe they, you know, maybe he can come back week two, week three. But maybe they put him on that list next week when they finalize the 53-man roster. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like, you just don't know. But I mean, he's probably I would reckon he's probably going to miss 3 to 4 games. That's what it kind of feels like. It's felt that way all along. I mean, he tore it in January. And so. Yeah, it's only been 8 months. So, wow. Maul, give everybody the info where they can find you, the podcast, Twitter, plug it all, please, so that everybody can see everything you say and then get upset with you because they're not Washington fans and then you can argue with them.
Absolutely. Well, you can find me on, first and foremost, RJ, appreciate the invite. I definitely appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter at LetMaulTellIt, M-U-A-L. I know people sometimes don't know how to spell Jamal. So, Let Maul Tell It with the U. But also Hog's Haven Podcast. You can find that on all podcast platforms. Same way you get Blogging the Boys, you'll find Hog's Haven as well. I mean, my written work, same thing on the website, hogshaven.com. And then I got my own side thing with the Trapper Dive Podcast where RJ and I met. But apparently Nick and Eric have known him for a long time because they've been listening forever. so that's where we all tie in all together. So like I said, RJ, man, I'm looking forward to the conversations upcoming throughout the season. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Maul, we'll definitely have you on the mixtape. We'll definitely do some stuff at Blogging the Boys as well. Tell Nick and Eric I said hello, that they're wonderful, and that I hope that what they eat for dinner is amazing. I hope what you eat is very good, not amazing. What are you eating for dinner tonight?
You got that bias stuff, and you know what I'm saying?
What are you eating for dinner? Give us as we leave. What's for dinner tonight?
I think I got some. I still got some beef strips. I know it doesn't sound amazing, but they're amazing. It's like ribs. It looks like ribs, like thick, some very thick ribs, beef ribs. So I'm about to As soon as my podcasts are done, I'm about to go to work. I'm telling you.
Okay. You giving the bones to Dakota?
Nah, they're too small. I don't trust her.
Okay,
the bones are going to be too small. So
we'll give Dakota a pet from all of us. Maul, thanks so much for hanging out, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, sir. Y'all be safe.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.